Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop, broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRaglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, Chris and I gather here once a week to...
Enlighten.
What else do we do, Chris?
Inform.
Entertain.
Entertain.
You can use that word loosely. Actually, yeah. Use all three of those loosely. we talked the comic talk and
tonight on comic talk. Maybe that's what we should have called this show. We can call it some comic talk.
That's a good thing because I brought good coffee.
Good thing. Go with coffee. Can maybe have go see a lawyer afterwards because I've had some problems with my super about my plumbing. You know what?
I got to go down after this. I got to go down to the harbor.
Got to go down to the harbor. Uh-huh. And go talk to the fishmonger.
That's all I got. As you can hear, we're broadcasting from New England, this Boston, Massachusetts live show at the Pia.
I'm having some lobster right now.
Is that right? Is that what you call that?
That's what you're smelling.
Nice. Yes. Hey, Chris, we're going to start the show with any way other way than you smelling lobster. You got me off guard there. Hey, we're going to start the show like we always do with Chris reviewing some comics that are hitting the new this week stand at your local comic book shop today.
All right, listen.
Like every week, Chris, we do have a sponsor.
Of course.
This week's sponsor is February.
February.
The month of February.
February.
Just as cold as January, but shorter.
It's true. So 28 days.
That's right.
Listen, so every week we like to talk about comics that are appearing on your newsstands. And the first one I want to talk about this week is Star Wars Forces of Destiny. So you're probably wondering, what the heck is Star Wars Forces of Destiny?
I was wondering that.
Well, okay, so this is actually a book that is... I'm confused. Mm-hmm. Walt, I'm confused. I don't understand what's going on with the world these days.
With Star Wars world or just the world in general?
With world in Star Wars and Disney and Marvel and... Okay, so... I'm confused. So
yes.
IDW is publishing a Star Wars Forces of Destiny comic.
Right.
I thought Marvel was publishing
comics. Let me have a look, Chris.
And then there's a news article that was out today reporting that Dark Horse is now going to be publishing a Frozen Disney comic. So, you know, Frozen Dark Horse is going to be publishing a Frozen comic, which apparently used to be Joe Books, which is now... The rights have gone to Dark Horse, but yet now IDW is publishing this Star Wars comic, but now the Marvel is publishing the other,
Vader and
Princess Leia comic. And it has to do with because this one happens to be a Rogue One or like a Phantom or sorry a Force Awakens ish kind of title.
I think the caveat, I don't know, that's not the right word. I never have the right word.
You I know, it's that? Okay. Yeah, yeah, I know. It's fine. We love you anyway.
ESL.
ESL.
This may not be continuity in the Star Wars U. This is kind of like offshoot things, you know.
Right. Well, so this one's actually from the characters are from The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I know, but they're done in kind of like a...
It's non-canon.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's what I know.
Yeah. So maybe that's the thing, and why not? If IDW wants to pay Disney for the license rights to print it.
But hold on. Don't you want to have one publisher publishing all the Star Wars comics? So then you can
all the ones that are in canon, maybe. But listen. If they gave, I'll give you an example, Chris. And where do you draw the line, right?
Explain.
They give Golden Books the right to print those bedtime story Star Wars things,
right?
And nobody has a problem with that,
sure.
Right? And
sure.
They'll give Taschen some coffee table book to print about Star Wars pictures and frames.
Fair enough.
There are other publishers printing Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
So they'll give give IDW this kind of other
ish.
It's almost like doing, you know, Teen Titans Go, have somebody else doing it,
okay,
or something.
Okay, all right.
Like
so basically, you know, they're going to take your money.
Pretty well.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty well. Now, here's a question.
Ask
your question. So here's a question. IDW is infamous. I'm going to use the word
infamous
for
yes
cross-pollinating properties.
Yes, well, especially with
Doctor Who meets Star Trek.
Well, especially with licensed properties.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will they ever cross Star Wars with Star Trek?
Why not?
Why not?
I mean,
IDW. Would Disney ever allow that?
Well, why not? I mean, okay. Look, the bottom line is that they can actually publish whatever they want, right?
Right.
Disney can, not IDW.
Right.
So if somebody comes up with a good storyline that has to deal with Star Trek and Star Wars, and you know, they happen to be working for IDW, and they say look, JB,
look here, JB,
we got a good idea here for some comics that have to do with them Star Wars things.
Star Wars things, say.
So we're gonna approach Disney, and if we can actually go ahead and do it, we're gonna publish it.
Look, JB, you just sit there and let me do the talking.
Exactly.
So, aliens? Which property would... this is a tough one.
Okay.
Which property would fit in as a drive-by in Star Wars? You know what I mean? The Star Wars thing is moving along, and they stop off at a planet, it's the landing team of the Enterprise, or it's alien monsters from Aliens, or it's Doctor Who happened to be there at the same... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think...
Or did they land on the planet of the apes? You know what I'm saying, right? Which one would fit?
Cybertron.
I don't know.
They're going to the Transformers world.
Oh, okay, Transformers world. Yeah. Right, yeah.
No, I don't know. Honestly,
okay, that's your pick.
I'm kidding. I can't. In seriousness,
it's
a tough one. I would say Star Trek or Doctor Who would probably be the best fit.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are all kinds of...
you know, if it's the old Star Trek, you know Kirk's getting a piece of something.
Absolutely, goodness.
Princess Leia, you look flush.
Oh, my. We're about the same age now, right?
Well, fair enough. Yeah. So, I mean, in the comics,
Yeah, I don't know. IDW has G.I. Joe and Transformers and Micronauts. Maybe, I don't know.
And that's a great question. I'm saying this is like a... happened with every property pretty well, except Star Wars. Almost.
But Star Wars
is its own... Scooby-Doo is, you know...
But Star Wars is its own universe. It's so hard...
Yeah, so are the other ones. Okay. Star Trek is its own universe.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah.
They're all their
own
universe.
I'm
going to
say all of them. I'm gonna say, go ahead and say all of them. I want to see a giant mishmash.
Nice.
Of a
road movie.
Like a road trip.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like one to the next to the next.
That's
to the
right,
next.
Yeah.
It's a mini series of 8 issues.
And they
meet with.
And there's some dweeb that finds out that his grandfather lost the Zygalorian star chip. And he has to go to all these different planets to try to find it.
Right.
And one planet's the Star Wars planet, and one planet's the Star Trek, and one planet's the aliens.
Planet Hulk.
Exactly. And then it becomes this amazing...
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be cool.
I'd read it.
Yeah, so would I.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
Right on.
For sure.
All right. Hey, Star Wars Forces of Destiny, Rose and Page. Available at your local comic book shop.
All right, next up. No, I don't want to talk about that one right now.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about this one. Here we go. Vertigo.
Vertigo.
So DC imprint, Vertigo, is back. And
I heard that this show induces vertigo.
Well, you know, if you pay attention a little too hard, it will definitely induce vertigo. But you know what? Vertigo is back. I'm a little confused because I thought Vertigo was
Chris,
gone.
This is the second. This is concerning.
Well, there's lots of
this
stuff
going on.
This
is the second book that's confused you.
I know. I understand. So there's lots of stuff going on with DC because DC had they initially had their DC's Young Animal universe, right? So young the Young Animal universe had like you know, what do you call it, the cybernetic eye guy, and they had
cybernetic eye guy,
Cave Carson,
right? Okay.
And Doom Patrol, right? And so, and now, but Vertigo is, you know, now they've got a Vertigo number one here, which Motherlands and
Motherlands.
It's it's a weird, strange science fiction looking. I don't even know it's how to describe it, but it's got a
fantasy.
But it does definitely has a Vertigo feel to it when you look at the art and when you look at the when you read it. It's got a preacher-esque.
Is Motherlands blurry on purpose?
I think so. Oh, I think so. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm looking at the cover. I don't know if you guys can see the cover. I'm just holding it up to the mic right now.
Yeah, I don't think the audience can see through the microphone.
Oh, they can. Depends on what beverages they're partaking in. Okay, Motherlands from Vertigo, number one, is at your local comic book shop. And according to Chris Owen, it is interesting to say the least.
Interesting to say the least. Okay, next up. We got to talk about this. Metal. DC's Metal number 5.
I heard it's a big thing. It's
huge.
It's a hit.
It is a weird, strange, wonderful comic that...
The question is, Chris, is it confusing you?
It's actually not, because it's so weird. I know that I'm not being confused because it's such a strange book.
Right. Okay.
It takes twists and turns that I never would have thought ever possible, but I'm enjoying it. It's weird. It's got all your favorite characters in it. It's got Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash, the Terrifics. It's got Black Manta. It's got, you name it, he's in it. Aquaman. It's a great book. It's weird. I love it. I don't know how it's going to end.
It's a mini series. It is. How long does it go?
I think 6 issues, but it could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to see the end of that one because I haven't actually had a chance to.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris.
Okay,
right
go
now.
Ahead.
Let's go. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. Spoiler alert! Whoa, what an ending! That's all I got to say. Mm. Chris, there's happy endings, and then there's not happy endings. And I really can't tell which one this is.
All right, that's fair.
All right. That is Metal number 5 from DC Comics. And that is at your local comic book shop.
Okay, so I'm saving the best for last year.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not going to talk about that other
one. Yeah, that other one. No time.
BS. Anyways. Yeah. So you interrupted a conversation between myself and one of your employees earlier today.
I've been known to do that before. I just crave your attention.
I know you do. That's okay. It happens a lot. Not so much.
Does it happen at home?
Not as much as I would like. No. But you know what? So here's what I have to say. Marvel is finally back on track with me for at least one book.
Whoa!
I'm going to say at least one book.
Can I guess which book?
Sure.
Okay. X-Men Red.
No.
Oh, all right. Okay. Oh,
take another
Avengers.
Guess. Take another guess.
Avengers.
Okay, so here's the thing. Avengers is up to Marvel Legacy number 678.
Wow.
Okay, so they're currently in a storyline.
What a long, strange trip it's
been.
It
really is. It really is. They're currently in a storyline called No Surrender.
No Surrender.
Okay, so bear with me for one second.
You know what? I'm going to listen, Chris, intently.
So Avengers typically is a title that generally when they have miniseries, they will go ahead and publish its own miniseries, and it's not in continuity with the rest of the title.
Okay.
They're not doing that this time. They're actually saying, oh, there is a storyline, and it's a 12-part storyline that's weekly.
Whoa.
Weekly.
Oh.
And it started 4 issues ago. Issue number 4 came out today.
Yeah.
So issue number 678 is out today. Mark Wade,
he's good.
Mark Wade, Al Ewing, and Jim Zub are the writers.
Uh-huh.
So there's 3 writers going on. The artist is Pepe Larraz.
Pepe.
Which, I'll be honest, I've never seen the guy's artwork before.
Is it good?
Amazing.
Mm.
And I love this book.
And with a name like Pepe, you got to be good.
But the story is fantastic.
Uh-huh.
It tells the story in a linear, proper fashion, the way you, especially the way new readers want to read a comic.
Right.
There was a point where I wasn't too sure if I knew had missed something, but uh-huh. there was a backup thing where I
could
figure out what's going on.
It's like Quentin Tarantino writing a comic. It goes forward in time and then back in time, and it's like, please.
A little bit, but this one is perfect. It's uh-huh. it's a great book, and I'm excited about it because it's finally a Marvel comic that I'm really enjoying.
Well, fantastic.
And it's got a Secret Wars feel to it, or what do you call it?
Cosmic Cube.
No, Contest of Champions.
Contest of Champions.
Do you remember that 3-issue miniseries that came out? There's a feeling around that where there's people kind of pulling the strings, but you don't know exactly what's going on yet. I love it. I think it's a great book.
So this is part 4, so you're saying it's a 12-parter.
12-parter.
But it'll be told over 3 months, basically.
Yeah. Wow,
that's fantastic.
It's a great book. You know what? I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm going to say if, in fact, you are jaded in any way, about Marvel Comics
ways to be jaded.
This is a book you need to pick up from issue 1 and read it, and you're going to enjoy it. And you know what? I think I'm standing by my
right.
decision.
So Avengers 675 would have been the start of this.
Correct.
And then I'm sure you can hunt that down at your local comic book shop. It sounds like an exciting
thing. I love it. I think it's a great book.
It's fantastic.
And, well, super impressed with it.
Great news. Great news. It's Chris Owen loves this book, and I'm sure you will too. So head on down to your local comic book shop. Pick up Avengers number 678. And with that, Chris, thousands, if not tens of thousands.
At least a dozen people may have listened to me.
No, I meant more comics.
Oh, yes. There's that too. Yeah, sure.
At your local comic book shop. Yeah. So please head in and peruse the new this week.
Absolutely. All right. Listen, you know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude. I need to cool off a little bit about talking about Avengers.
Very passionate, Chris.
I know. Well, you know what? It's been a long time since I've enjoyed a Marvel comic. Really enjoyed
it. I thought you meant
comic.
It's been a long time since you've been passionate.
Oh, well, let's not get carried away here. All right. Listen, we're going to have a little bit of the old music here. This one is from The Outer Limits.
Yeah, baby. I like that. Hey, Chris. This brings us to industry news.
Industry news.
And industry news is brought to you by the Avengers.
Nice.
They're back, baby.
They're back.
In a big way. Get your dose. Get your weekly dose at your local comic book shop.
You know what? I can't say enough about that book. I think it's just a fantastic book.
I love it.
Really, it's one of the few things that's got me jazzed up about comics in a long time.
All right. Let's
You know what else has me jazzed up about comics?
What's that?
In the comic industry is Black Panther.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, good.
But we probably need to have a sponsor first.
We just did.
Oh, sorry.
It was the Avengers.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Sorry, yes.
Hey, was Black Panther ever in the Avengers?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Of course he was.
I think I know which issue he joined in.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
112.
No, I think he joined in number 62.
That early?
Yeah.
Because that would have been super early, considering he appeared in Fantastic Four number 52.
Yeah.
Right, I was going to say 52. So, and Avengers didn't start that much later than Fantastic Four.
It was about 20 issues or so. So it's about a good 2 years, two plus years after he came on the scene. I think Avengers 62. So I think it's a good 2 years after he first appeared.
Okay, so really he had joined the Avengers 2 years or 3 years?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years after he came. Right. So, you know. But he was a big, I think it was 62. Avengers and Black Panther fans love, if you're Googling images, Google Avengers number 87. It's got that great yellow cover.
Oh, yeah.
With Black Panther is just like the main character on the cover. Yep, That's a fantastic book. Everybody loves that one, too. Yeah. So I guess the reason why we're talking about Black Panther, Chris, is it's the world premiere, the hoity-toity Hollywood elite premiere in L.A. last night.
Yes.
Or two nights ago, Monday night. For the Black Panther movie, which opens February 16th
to all of us normal guys. Do you have your tickets?
No, I don't.
Oh, come on, Walt. No.
I'm gonna. I'll have time.
All right.
I know a guy.
Okay. Well, you know what? I have my tickets already.
Oh, wonderful. Absolutely. For which night?
For opening night, Friday night. Now, okay, that's a bit of a misnomer. Opening night, I know in some places they actually open up on like midnight on like Thursday or a late show on Thursday. But I'm going on the Friday night.
I have a good friend who popped into the store the other day, and he said he got his tickets already. They're all going down to the we're in Hamilton, Ontario, and Jackson Square cinemas are the ones where you have those big lounge chairs and the big, you know, like the thing. There's 17 of them going.
Get out. Yeah. That's awesome.
A Perfect. Party of 17 going. Fantastic.
Listen, you know what? So this is going to be an amazing movie, and I'm hearing nothing but great things about it.
Well, the initial, I jumped online yesterday and I read, you know, how did it go, you know, first night. And the initial thing was one of, you know, just like enthusiasm to just downright amazement at how good it was.
Which
bodes well for the theatrical release.
Absolutely. You know what? So the director Ryan Coogler, he's being commended for bringing Wakanda to the big screen.
Yep.
You know, people are confused about this, and I get it
because about what?
Well, okay, so I don't know how to be politically correct about this, but
don't be.
Well, they're seeing the ads for Wakanda, and they're seeing what they're saying to be like a futuristic society, which. Isn't Wakanda supposed to be in Africa? And why And then people are asking me, like, well, why is there all of a sudden this futuristic society? I mean, we know Africa has issues with, you know, with dictatorships and no issues with
most of the world has issues with
dictatorships. Right, and that's what I said.
You know, of the 200 and some odd countries in the world, very few are lucky to escape that.
And that's what I said.
Right.
I said, you know what, okay, first of all, this is a comic book. Second of all, Wakanda is a extremely advanced society. So when you're seeing starships and spaceships and stuff like that, that's Wakanda for sure.
Right. Yeah.
And but remember, it's a secret country.
Right.
Right? So, you know, things that are happening in Wakanda, people don't necessarily know about in the rest of the world, and you know the most brilliant minds are coming out of Wakanda, right? So this is an extremely advanced society, much more advanced than the rest of the world because they've shut themselves off,
right?
It's almost like a good thing, right? It's interesting.
Well, you know what? What I always liked about Wakanda too is that the image of an advanced society, but a society still connected to nature.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Still connected to that whole whole argument for environmentalism. You know, Wakanda stands for that. So you can have both. You can protect your environment and you can have advanced.
But they didn't forget where they came from.
That's right. Yeah, you can have advancements in society and protect your.
I think it looks amazing. I'm so excited about this.
That's great. I mean, that, you know, I mean, it's kind of like a watershed film in a sense that, you know what I mean? Like up until now, Hollywood, you know what I mean, has gone to those A-listers.
Right.
In a way. And then when it does go to the B-listers, they still went for the traditional heroes being a white Caucasian male, like Ant-Man, or like the guy from Guardians, Star-Lord, or something like that. So, with and the good part about Black Panther is the principal isn't even American.
No.
Which is fantastic for an American movie.
Totally.
This person is not an American.
This is going to transcend Hollywood movies.
In a sense, it could. Because why do you have to be an American for America? Up till now, the assumption was, okay, you have to be an American for Americans to buy into the movie.
Right.
Whereas this is going to be like a bit of a litmus test, I guess.
Totally, yeah.
And say, I mean, to a degree, I guess not. I mean, everybody's been loving James Bond,
okay,
I guess.
But you know what? I mean?
He's like, not an American either, you know, right?
Other than cartoon movies,
uh-huh.
there's really not a whole... I mean, you know, I'll go out and say it. You know, America, North America, is very insular, right?
Yeah.
You know, we don't necessarily have a whole lot of movies about Europe or South America or Australia even, you know, which is also, you know...
I guess the point is... We'll all love, I don't even know if, say, we'll love a Jackie Chan movie if it's in the context of an America.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But we love a Jackie Chan movie if he's working for the Chinese CIA version of the CIA?
That's
you know what
great,
I mean?
Great like, example. Like,
so,
yeah, great example.
And so, in
we,
a
we
sense...
We love him when he's in the Old West, but do we love him when he's, you know, in China?
That's right.
Right,
like,
yeah,
and
yeah,
when working for somebody other than America
stuff.
So, you know, like just seeing Wakanda and seeing the Panther T'Challa and stuff like that, and us all buying into this just, you know, really good action movie is the principle of it. But he doesn't have to be an American.
Right.
He can be somebody
else. I totally
else.
Agree. Yep,
and so that's good. And I mean, that's kind of like a, I don't even know. I mean, the Marvel movies up till now, I don't even know, Chris, if any of them were, like, obviously Natasha Romanoff there, she's Russian, but she's, you know, within a group that are mostly, you know, Iron Man and Captain America being the two principal Americans, right?
Yep.
So Natasha's a foreigner, right? So,
well, I mean, really, the only other, if you want to call him a foreigner... which is a stretch would be Thor because he comes from a whole other planet.
Fair enough. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
You know?
Yeah,
but
you're
I mean, right. other than that, like you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy are from a different world. Like, but no, there aren't any other real characters from other continents.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So it's kind of it's a cool litmus test for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No. Great.
So Black Panther, which, like I said, it's off to initial start.
So
go ahead.
I gotta ask you. I mean, this is a comic book show.
It is.
So, because the Black Panther movie is coming out,
mm-hmm.
Is there a lot of interest in the Black Panther comics? And better question is, has the price of the first appearance of Black Panther gone through the roof?
Yeah, it has, Chris. The funny thing with comic book values is the release of the movie doesn't necessarily increase the values because the values spike when the movie's announced.
Right.
Right. Right. So the values spiked 2 years ago on that book.
Okay, right.
So when they announced the stars and they announced the budget and they announced that Marvel was going to do a feature film on Black Panther, Fantastic Four number 52 shot up in value. And then, you know, since then it's been rising, plateauing, falling back a bit, right? You know, ebb and flows of value. I honestly think if the movie is great, which by all indications it is, and if the character gets entrenched into kind of folklore like he should, you know, the people that bought, you know, that needed to have a copy and maybe overpaid, not overpaid, but paid those increasing prices, I think they're going to be safe in the sense that book will retain its value.
Now, I got to ask.
Because sometimes, Chris, if a movie bombs, the speculation for a book's value of the first appearance, that actual comic can retract in value.
Sure,
right?
So. Okay, now I got to ask you, this is going to sound like a flippant question, but it's not.
Oh, will I take offense?
You won't, but I don't want the audience to take offense.
Don't worry. Not many of them anyway.
What I'm going to ask you is, do you think that the rise of the Black Panther movie and thus the comic book values will give rise to other black character values in comics?
Like, like another appearance of, let's say, Black Goliath. Or Black Lightning.
Which, you know, it's horrible.
No, but it's not horrible.
But I mean, we just mentioned two black characters that have the word black in them.
Right.
And that's
Falcon.
Falcon. Okay.
Yeah. Lobo.
Right.
Right. You know what? It's already happened. Yeah. It's just, a Falcon who was with Captain America. He's
Long
the guy
time.
In the movies. Yeah. His book appreciated because he was going to be in the movies.
Right.
So his book appreciated on his own merit. Right. But definitely I've seen and Luke Cage... His book also appreciated with the Netflix series.
Cyborg.
Yeah, with the Suicide
League.
Squad.
Yeah. Justice League.
Justice League. Sorry, yeah Justice League. But characters like Black Goliath and Black Lightning definitely saw that kind of, and it wasn't just Black Panther. It was just
so
the whole
Black Goliath is an interesting case because there was a Goliath.
Yeah.
Right, and then all of a sudden there, you know, because. Then all of a sudden there was a Black Goliath. So, which I'm going to guess 99% of the population of the people that are listening to us right now didn't even realize there was a character called Black Goliath.
Right.
So, are you saying that now that particular book is rising in value?
Yeah, that number may be 98% now because a little bit more people. But definitely is rising in value. I think because I'm just a comic guy that knows stuff.
Yeah.
I think it was Luke Cage number 24.
Okay.
That was the first appearance of Black Goliath.
Oh, interesting.
And that book has definitely appreciated in value.
Really?
Black Lightning, number one, was his first appearance. That was DC coming late to the party, cashing in on that those type of heroes. That book has appreciated and gone up like 20-fold.
Really?
You know, it was like a $5 book, you know,
2 years ago.
4 years ago, and now it's like a $100 book in nice shape, right?
Really?
So, I mean, it's just like anything else, though. Getting any character out from the insular world of comic collecting, which is limited in numbers. Let's say that there's 200,000 of us.
Yeah.
You know, like an insular group of comic collectors. Once you get a character outside of that insular hobby and get that character, him or her, out into the pop culture world of where it's reaching hundreds of millions of fans through international movie releases and stuff like that, that definitely there's an influence on demand for that character's first appearance in a comic.
Interesting. All right.
For sure.
You know what? I'm sure we've probably bored half of our listening audience to death about Black Panther, but...
Not at all. Everybody's looking forward to the movie. It's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it, too.
Perfect. All right, listen.
Another movie, a Marvel movie, that I watched a trailer for.
You did?
Yesterday I watched a trailer. Was this Ant-Man and Wasp movie coming out July 6th.
I had a chance to watch most of it. I got cut off. And somebody came into my office, unfortunately. But I thought it looked great from what I saw. Interesting. You know, not a whole lot was revealed. It's what they call one of those teaser trailers. So I didn't get a chance to really get a good feel for what was happening other than the fact that now Wasp is in it.
Yeah. They definitely tried to swing the... kind of a little bit of comedy, a little bit of one-liners, a little bit of usually at the expense of Ant-Man, which is the way it goes.
It was nice to see. You know what? I have a love-hate relationship with Michael Douglas.
Yeah,
Sometimes I love the guy, sometimes I hate him. I love the fact that he's still in it; he's still going.
You hate him that he got Catherine Zeta-Jones and you didn't.
Exactly, right? So, but he's in the movie again, which I think was great. Lots of interesting things happening with shrinking and all that kind of stuff. But I thought it was an interesting trailer, but not a whole lot was really revealed about the movie.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question, Chris, because you're a comic guy. You know what's coming.
Here we go.
This is the first one is a trick question, and I'll want both answers from you.
All right.
What are the two comic books that represent the first appearance of Ant-Man, and which one in which way?
Oh, I know what you're going to say. Okay, so Tales to Astonish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and...
What number?
Oh, that's the problem.
Okay, you want me to put you out of your misery here?
No, let me guess.
All right, I need a number. Tales Give to me Astonish. A number.
39.
Number 27. You're thinking of Tales of Suspense 39, which is the first Iron Man.
Okay, no. Sorry, yes.
Tales to Astonish 27. What is significant about that book, Tales Mr. Owen? I need to know now!
Hank Pym.
First appearance of Hank Pym.
First appearance
Very
of Hank
good.
Pym.
And who's Hank Pym?
So Hank Pym is, in fact, Ant-Man.
Uh-huh.
However,
Hold on. What happened in 27?
He only appears as Hank Pym in that issue.
But what happens to him in that issue?
He discovers the formula to be able to shrink.
To?
An ant, the size of an ant.
Right.
Right.
And so then he's basically a scientist that's small.
Correct.
And in trouble.
Right.
Because he's...
But he's not actually called Ant-Man yet.
Right. He's Hank Pym.
He's Hank Pym.
Who shrinks down to the size of an ant.
Pym particles.
Right.
Right.
So what's the other book that I'm looking for?
36.
35.
35.
Very good, Chris.
Oh, so close.
And what happens in that book?
That's where he is actually becomes Ant-Man himself.
Reformulated into a hero.
That's right. Yes.
So if we can inform our listenership, this is exactly what happened. So the very first Marvel superhero book, as Chris Owen knows, is Fantastic Four number one.
Right.
From November.
Well, time out. Is that really the very first Marvel book?
Superhero book, I said.
Marvel superhero book.
Yes.
What about... I guess okay. We're not counting the timelies.
No.
Okay.
No. Marvel, right. The new Marvel
okay,
revolution.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. As you were.
Yeah. So that happened in November of 61, and then in December of 61, Tales to Astonish number 27 came.
Okay. So are you telling me that I want to know? Are you saying to me that in fact after Fantastic Four? The second superhero/superhero team would be Ant-Man?
This is the argument in the comic book community I'm trying to express to you, Chris. Many people say no. There's a Tales of Suspense number 32 came out roughly at the same time, and it was called The Man in the Beehive.
Okay,
it was
yeah.
about a guy that kind of ended up being a beehive, being shrunk in a beehive. And it was the same story. These were, before Fantastic Four came along, Marvel was famous in there. Journey into Mystery, Tales of Suspense, Tales to Astonish, and Strange Tales titles.
Right.
Those four.
Yes.
They're famous for these sci-fi monster stories.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely, yes.
Which usually involve scientists of some sort discovering something, some monster grog or fang-fang-foom or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Or Groot.
Groot.
You know?
Yeah.
The tree, the living tree. So all these were just, they technically weren't superhero stories.
Okay.
They were sci-fi monster stories. So the argument there is, the introduction of Hank Pym in Tales to Astonish number 27 doesn't technically count as a superhero comic. What happened was Fantastic Four came along a month before, and for you Marvelites, there are only three 10-cent Marvel comics that have kind of a quasi-superhero in them.
And what are they?
And they're Fantastic Four number one, number two, and Tales to Astonish 27.
Okay.
But though, Tales to Astonish 27...
What about Amazing Fantasy 15?
That's a 12-center.
Ah.
So... Now, fast forward to May 1962.
Yeah.
Marvel releases their second official superhero.
Right.
Which was Hulk.
Right.
Okay. Hulk is a big hit.
Yeah.
Okay. So now Marvel, Stan and Jack are sitting there in the office going, look, Jack, I think we're on to something, see?
Excelsior.
What else do we got in the tank? And Jack's there going, well, Stan, remember Hank Pym?
Yeah.
Why don't we turn him into like a superhero Ant-Man?
Yeah.
And they did that in the summer of 62.
Okay.
Right? So, I don't know where I was going with this whole
thing. Second superhero, third superhero?
Yeah. So, Ant-Man is the important Ant-Man issues are Tales to Astonish 27.
Yep.
Tales to Astonish 35.
Yep.
Now, my last question to you, because remember, now I remember where I was.
Okay, right.
There was three questions.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Which comic represented the first appearance of Wasp?
Avengers 1.
Tales to Astonish number 44.
Oh, really? It was before Avengers?
Number 44.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So, interesting. Anyway, boy, talk about being bored.
You know what? We need a musical interlude after all that. We definitely do. You know what? All kidding aside, very interesting information, especially for those of you that are actually in the collecting community who are interested in how Ant-Man became Ant-Man. Yeah. All right. Listen, let's have a quick musical interlude. Then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about what films are coming out in the 2018 comic book world.
A little
Doctor Who there.
Listen, and a great segue, Chris, into our sponsor for the second portion of Industry News. The second portion of Industry News is brought to you by Doctor Who meets Dr. Dre meets the Doctor Robot that fixed Luke's hand, number one.
Oh, I like that.
From IDW.
Yeah, you know, I would actually read that.
Yeah, I would read that.
So. That. You know what? Call me crazy, but... according to the action figures from Star Wars, the doctor that fixed Luke's hand was FX7.
You caught me on that. I wish I knew that. Just you know, you asked Chris Owen with the first appearance of Wasp.
No idea.
But what was the doctor robot's name that fixed Luke's hand? He pulls something that out of his hat.
That's the one. All right, listen. You know what? Black Panther's coming out February 16th.
February 16th. What a romantic movie to take your date on for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Chris, while I have the listeners here, listeners, we're obviously as we always are on 93.3 CFMU McMaster's award-winning radio station because of us.
Yeah, that's it.
And we're 2 weeks away from our big Valentine's show.
Valentine's Day show. We have a big show for that day.
That's the annual poem off.
That's right. And you know what? I'm going to reach out to our listenership and say, if in fact you have a poem you would like to, in fact, send to us, you can send it to, bigbcomics.com or something like that?
Walt at bigbcomics.com.
Or chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca. And if you have a poem you want read on air...
That is allowed to be read on a family... show.
Yes, we can't. We have to keep it somewhat PG.
I guess we can beep them.
Right? We can. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If you have a Valentine's Day poem related to pop culture, we'd be more than happy to read it for you.
And I hear rumblings through channels.
Oh.
That we're having a special guest on.
A special guest, you say?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Special guest on the Valentine's Day show who will also be reading a poem.
Oh, interesting. All right.
So.
Well, okay, look. So Black Panther comes out on February 16th.
Yep.
Shortly after that, in May the 4th, I think it is. May the 4th be with you.
Right. Is there a Star Wars movie on May the 4th?
Oddly enough, well, it's a Disney movie. Oh, it's Avengers Infinity War. Then on May the...
Maybe there'd be a Star Wars Easter Bunny at the end.
Yeah, there might be an Easter egg.
Easter egg. I always get that wrong.
And then Deadpool 2 is coming out.
Wait. Hold on. Back that up.
Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop.
Okay, Black Panther, February 16th.
Correct.
That's that romantic date movie.
Yeah, that's right. That's date night.
Yeah.
So I'll be expecting to see you and your wife at Silver City.
We'll be there. We'll be there.
All right.
Avengers then in May. Now the Avengers Infinity War is that big free comic book day movie.
On the Saturday.
Right. So your local comic book shop, and Chris, you and I do nothing but champion the local comic book shop. Marvel has traditionally been Marvel. Who's always released a big movie the first Saturday in May.
Correct.
And, sorry, first Friday in May.
Yep.
Friday night.
Well, Friday, yeah, you're right. Sorry, yeah. The movie comes out on the Friday, then...
The first weekend in May.
The following Saturday is... Yeah.
And it's always been Free Comic Book Day, and it's been a beautiful kind of relationship between the two where comic shops can use the inertia, the momentum created by that release of that Marvel movie to help them get people into shop,
Yep.
And celebrate comic books and comic movies and stuff. So we have that, and Avengers Infinity War.
On the 4th.
Right. And then what's next?
So then on May the 18th, so a scant 2 weeks after that,
yep.
We have Deadpool 2.
Now, Chris, I never seen the first Deadpool.
Oh, well.
I heard it's good.
Well, I
heard it's rated R.
I feel like I should just leave right now.
No, don't leave yet.
Okay.
Don't leave yet.
Not yet.
You
need to see it.
Right.
You need to see
it. Okay, I will.
You know what? Here's why you need to see it.
Why do I need to see it?
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and you need to see it because it's got Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
Which is great.
Ryan Reynolds.
But it also has Colossus, who is an X-Man.
Right, yeah.
And they do a great job of portraying Colossus in a humorous but somewhat serious note.
Okay.
Right? So you need to see it. It's a great movie.
Now, the thing that worries me about this film is they're going to a new director.
Okay, so the previous director, I believe his name, I could be wrong, but I believe his name was Tim Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He left the directing Deadpool 2 because apparently, and I don't know anything about anything, but apparently Ryan Reynolds was making too many demands about the character and thought it should be a little more goofy,
right?
Because he's a goofy kind of guy,
yeah.
Than maybe what Tim Miller wanted.
Right.
That's
not sounding healthy right now, Chris. This is scaring me.
But hold on. Let's not forget here that if it wasn't for the quote-unquote leaked test footage that Ryan Reynolds put out about Deadpool, we wouldn't even have a Deadpool movie. So I'm guessing that maybe Ryan Reynolds has
onto something?
Maybe he has a better clue as to what the audience wants out of a Deadpool movie than what the director for the Deadpool movie actually wants.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just saying, you know what? Clearly we're going to find out
May 18th.
May
18th. Yeah.
I think it's going to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't see a problem with it. I think that maybe this previous director wanted to be a little too serious.
Yeah, Chris, you know what?
I don't know.
I like your enthusiasm, kid.
You know what?
Yeah, I like it.
I like stuff.
Enthusiasm is infectious.
It is, that's true.
And you, Chris, are infectious.
Well, that's only because I haven't been tested lately. But Ant-Man and the Wasp is also coming out in January, February, April, May, June, July. July the 6th.
Nice.
Oh, July the 6th. I think that's actually the day of my wedding anniversary.
Good for you.
Yeah, cool.
What better way to celebrate?
I love you, honey.
Let's go see Ant-Man and the Wasp. I can be dressed up as Ant-Man,
and you can
dress up as the Wasp.
You can bet that's going to happen. Yeah. I guarantee you right now. Well, I don't know about the dressing up part, but we're going to go see the movie. What do we got there? October the 5th, we have the Venom movie.
Now, Chris.
Now, I'm excited about this.
Well, hold on. I want to talk about this Venom movie.
Oh, okay. What do you want to say?
I'm interested in this Venom movie.
So, okay.
I thought about it. When I saw this Venom movie, I had a thought.
What was your thought?
And then I realized my thought was wrong because I'm picking the wrong movie. Here, I had a note on it, and of course I lost my note. The tipping point, the passing of the torch.
Yep,
I'm using all these things that I don't know what I'm using. I thought the Venom movie would have been that movie that passes the mantle from guys like you and me to the kids.
No.
Well, hold on.
Okay. Sorry.
Because up until this year, last year, 2 years ago, every single superhero movie is basically an old man superhero movie. Every single one of them.
Wait, what? What do you mean?
It's characters that were forged in the silver and golden age, even the bronze age.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
Guys in their 40s and girls in their 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is it's the old traditionalist comic hobby culture ABC listers were the go-to people.
Right.
Right. There may be some fringe movies where I'm wrong here and stuff. Then I thought, I go, oh my gosh. I go, Venom is going to be the first movie that really just says, hey, old man, step aside. Well, right? But then I realized,
yeah.
Let me finish.
Okay.
That it's not. It was Deadpool.
Right. Totally.
It was Deadpool, and it's been successful.
Totally Deadpool.
Is my point.
Totally Deadpool.
So a couple of old guys that I know that collected comics and stuff, is like, they have no time for Deadpool. They have no time for that schlock. Well. They have no time for fourth wall breaking. It's not traditionalist. And then it's like the Deadpool movie comes out, and it just breaks all the rules, and it's a massive success.
Huge
and then
success.
I go, whoa, the young, new generation is taking over, and we're passing the mantle over to them. I think Venom is the second in that line.
Timeout. Timeout. Beep.
Do we have a timeout sound?
Beep. Okay, right. So... I think you're as my uncle used to say, you're half right but all wrong.
I like your uncle.
So what I'm going to say here is, I think that Deadpool is definitely the younger generation, the type of movie, the fourth wall breaking, and the newer character. It's a character that was created in the 1990s, all that kind of stuff. Yes, 100%. However, I think that also the Logan movie was also meant to be for a younger generation. It was a little grittier. It was R-rated. It was all those things that
nah, Logan is too old a hero.
No. Don't think about the age of the character. Think about the popularity and the way that the character was portrayed in that particular movie. Logan was a huge smash success.
Yeah.
So I think that you need to realize that Logan, not Wolverine, not the Wolverine that you and I know of from the X-Men movies, but this Logan character as being a little more grim and gritty of a character, that is totally the way the younger generation wants to see movies. They don't want to see movies. Don't cut any corners.
But wait a minute. Deadpool was before Logan.
It was. Yeah. And so I'm saying, so Deadpool, you had Deadpool and you had Logan.
Right.
And so Venom now.
Yeah, I don't know about Logan. You haven't sold me on Logan as being the same ilk as the Deadpool and the Venom.
Totally the same ilk. Totally the same. And now you've got Venom. Venom, however, is a Sony character.
Yeah.
It's not going to be R-rated.
Right.
From what I've heard anyways. I could be wrong. However, it does have a younger actor as Venom, who's Tom Hardy, who was in Mad Max Fury Road, who was...
He's not younger.
He's
like 40-something.
Okay, but he's been in a lot of great movies recently.
Yeah, it's not like it's some young upstart.
Okay, no, but he's a young man's actor.
Right.
Like people, younger generations of people like
him. Oh, okay, I get it.
Okay,
get it.
He was Mad Max. He was
Mad Max. You know,
Bane. Right?
Yeah.
So, which was probably 10 years ago now. But
anyways,
all I'm saying is that I think Venom is going to be a great movie. It's supposedly is going to have the Homecoming Spider-Man in that movie.
Ah, I see.
I don't know for sure, but that's what I've heard in the internets there. So we'll see.
Let's go back to comics, Chris, and you tell me the first full appearance of Venom was in...
Oh, well, that's an easy one. Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 300.
Good for you. And what's
Which I've had multiple copies of in the past, but for whatever reason now, I don't own a single one.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Well, that book's value is appreciated quite dramatically.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I bet.
Now, did you know, Chris, as well... That
I used to have a really, really. You bought my Sharp copy. I think you graded it. Probably made about $1 billion.
I think it was a 99, and we got $412,000.
Yeah.
I didn't want to tell you.
You're always taking advantage of me.
We're drinking part of that right now.
I bet we are. Why are we drinking water?
Beautiful soda pop.
Drinking water. Yeah.
What was I going to say?
Okay, Venom.
This Venom. So the Spider-Man 300, an interesting tidbit, because if anybody can bring the show down, it's me.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So
it was too lively. Go ahead.
So there's two Amazing Spider-Man number 300, not all are built the same way. Not all Amazing Spider-Man number 300s are equal. Did you know that on the marketplace, Chris, Amazing Spider-Man number 300, absolutely exactly the same covers,
yeah,
and yet there's one slight difference, and one gets maybe 30%, 40% more than the other.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, is that the... Can I guess?
Yeah.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Is that the Canadian edition versus the U.S. edition?
No, it's the UPC white box on the bottom,
with the barcode,
versus the Spider-Man head.
Ah.
And
which one gets more money?
The UPC barcode.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Now, the Spider-Man head was sold through comic book shops.
Right.
Direct market.
Yeah.
And you know comic people, oh, can you put mine in a bag? Is it mint?
Right. All right. Right. So initially when it first came out.
That's right. UPCs are at supermarket counters, 7-Elevens, corner stores, on spinners.
Newsstands.
Kids wrinkling the crap out of them.
Hard to get a copy of that one.
Right.
Right.
So not very many UPC code ones survived in nice shape.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
If you get like, I'm just going to say 9.4 out of 10 graded copy, and one goes to market with a UPC sticker and one goes to market with a Spider-Man head on the thing, the UPC sticker will outperform the other.
Interesting.
One. Yeah.
Very interesting.
So just beware of that when you're buying Spider-Man number 300s, folks.
All right, we've only got like...
Well, hold on. We got a couple more.
I know. I'm saying we've only got a minute or so left here.
Oh, my God. We have the...
Okay, so we've got...
Dark Phoenix.
Venom coming out in October 5th. And then X-Men Dark Phoenix, which I've heard a rumor that... I think his name is Hans Zimmer. I don't remember his name exactly, but apparently...
Hans Solo.
He's come out of retirement to do the score, because apparently he decided he didn't want to do any more...
Yeah.
Music for superhero movies,
right.
But it's come out of retirement of superhero movies to do the score for that one. And then Aquaman is coming out on December 21st.
Chris, we have what the heck is going on with DC? The first six are Marvels, and the last one is
Aquaman.
Late and lame.
Late.
LL.
LL. Not Lois Lane.
Not Lois Lane. Late and lame.
Yeah.
Aquaman is the only DC major production, Warner,
it's ridiculous.
In 2018. It's a shame. It's a shamble. I thought we were going to have enough time. I was just going to lambaste DC for this. 2017 was the most successful year in the history of superhero film.
Yeah.
It was $1 trillion in budget for the big eight that came out.
Yeah.
And DC got their chunk with Wonder Woman and Justice League and I forget what else, but what the heck happened in 2018?
Listen here, JB. We had a great year of 2017.
So let's not do anything.
So we're going to do Justice League and Wonder Woman, and then I think we should choose the one character that can talk to fish.
Now.
Yeah, let's do Aquaman.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, sir, what about maybe doing a sequel to Wonder Woman, or maybe The Flash,
or maybe Batman? Again?
No. We're going to do the fish movie.
Look here, JB. Can I interject?
Go ahead.
And then let's put it out the very last week of the year.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that, yeah. Wow. And you know what? I know we were talking about maybe a Harley Quinn apparently is really popular, or maybe Batgirl, but let's wait for that for a few years before we do anything on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's all I got to say
completely
to that.
Completely lame.
Totally disappointed.
Yeah. Well,
totally,
you know what? And there's a reason why they're second in movies.
That's right. Marvel really came to bat in 2018, and I think they're going to do fantastic in a bunch of these movies. If you're going to... The only kind of one... There's two, obviously, that we worry about. I think Ant-Man Wasp will have a built-in fan base.
Sure.
The Deadpool... Not Deadpool's obviously... with the new director is going to be kind of iffy, and Venom, we don't know how people are going to take it because it's a Sony movie.
Yeah, we'll
right?
see. We'll see.
But are we still good? Or are
we got 10 seconds.
Hey! Ho!
Let's go.
Comic Culture is produced by Chris Owen. We're on comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. I think we're the number one show on GetToPointRadio.com.
Yeah, no, if you keep going, we won't be.
Uh-huh.
Hurry up.
And we're on CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station. Please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.